Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Welcome back to the show and welcome to the statewide hour, the fully statewide. I think we're mostly statewide at 8 a.m. too, but the actually fully statewide network here at 9 a.m. Welcome all of you guys. And if y'all hadn't heard some of the topics that we've talked about in the other hours, we're going to give them all the quick run over so y'all all hear them. But one of the things that we didn't repeat in the last hour was about James Comey. I want to hit that real fast. You guys remember former FBI director and disgraced FBI director James Comey, who was fired by President Trump in 2017 because it all came out that he, along with a whole bunch of other people in the Obama regime, participated in a criminal conspiracy to set up and smear Donald Trump with allegations of somehow being involved with Russia and somehow cheating the 2016 election. It was all fake. It was all phony. And all those people left the government. They got fired. They left just because President Trump came in. Well, Comey for the last 8 years has continued to be fairly, you know, a figure out there. He pops his head up every once in a while talking trash and writing his stupid sophomoric books that he writes. And he happened to pop up here. He's happened to pop up quite a bit since January, since President Trump got elected. And first of all, he's arranging stones out on the beach, talking about 8647, basically telling people to somehow stop or kill the president. And then acts like he had no idea what they're talking about. And then he goes on one of these talk shows and says very arrogantly and smugly right into the camera that the Trump DOJ aren't good enough to get him. He's too slick and too smart for them to get him. Well, they must have heard him because just a couple of days ago, they got around to firing his daughter. His daughter was still working as a federal prosecutor in the Southern District of New York, and they fired her. And I'm sure it probably took this amount of time because she's a career employee, and they probably had to fire her for cause. And it probably didn't take them very long to find in her interactions, in her phone, in her emails, in her work product, that she's acting either incompetently or corruptly. Because that's just what these people do. And guaranteed, she's also sharing confidential information out there with daddy and with everybody else, political actors. She shouldn't be doing that. Well, that was just a real funny piece of news. And he's out there whining about it now, whining that his daughter got fired after he dared the DOJ to go after him. Well, you made the dare, pal. You know, you danced, you got to pay the band.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Welcome back. Welcome back. This is John Jackson on the microphone here for the statewide hour. I just saw the breaking news here. Our buddy Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, and Mike Johnson is announcing that they're just going to go ahead and they're taking Thursday off here, and they're just headed out. They're headed home for their break. They won't be back. Guess when, guys? Till September 2nd. They're taking off the rest of the summer, just heading out, heading home. And what they're going to do is they're going to come back here in September and say, oh, gee whiz, you know, we only got 3 weeks until the budget is due. We're going to have to just kick that CR down the road again, just like we've been doing for the last how many years is it? 25, 30 years since they actually wrote a budget? That's what they're going to do again. They're headed out. And where this really runs into a problem is in the Senate. And I'm guessing the Senate will take off either Thursday or Friday as well and be gone for the same amount of time. Well, the Democrats are now using every blockade they can to stall all of President Trump's nominees out there. They did this in his first term, and we thought we weren't going to be tolerating any of that crap now here in President Trump's second term. And what John Thune came out in yesterday and said is he's thinking, you know, he's got his fist right up on his chin, and he's really, really thinking hard about canceling the recess until the Democrats in the Senate move forward these nominees. And let's put some bets on it. Anybody out there got any bets that he'll actually do that? I'm going to take the no side of that he won't do that. But that's something that President Trump needs to get in the middle of and demand that they do that. Because as long as they can do this and get away with it, they'll just keep doing it. And you know why Democrats do this to every Republican president? One reason. Because they know it'll never get done back to them. That's why. If one time the Republicans would have done to Obama or to Biden this very same thing, then I guarantee you they would have all had to have a backroom meeting. It would have been a scrabble roll. We're going to have to have some more bipartisanship here, and we're going to have to start having an agreement about our party's nominees. What do you think there, Senator Slingblade there? What do you think about that? They would stop it if it got done back to them, but it doesn't. It never gets done back to them. It only gets done by their side. And I see one particular one that I think is very important. You have Alina Habba, who is President Trump's nominee for U.S. Attorney up in New Jersey. Her 120-day interim appointment is coming up, and they still haven't confirmed her. So I'm seeing stories she might have to step down if they don't get her confirmed. And that puts in just all kind of other scenarios about a group of judges up there in New Jersey allegedly being able to appoint somebody they want. It's just a whole big bunch of garbage that we're once again tolerating from these people. And I guarantee you, see, if Thune did that, if Thune said, okay, recess is canceled until we get these many nominees through, they would run to do it. You know why? They've all got plane tickets. They've all got things they've already planned to do when they go home. They don't want all of that interrupted. They would jump at the chance to get these done. And all Thune's got to say is this number. We're not saying all of them got to get done right now, but this number, these 20 right here, or however, pick a number. These got to get done right now for these reasons. And until we get them done, nobody's going anywhere. Or, I mean, you guys can leave if you want, and we'll just confirm everybody. How about that? Right? Easy enough. But on to the next topic. I mentioned this in previous hours about our Republican legislature here, our Republican legislature and Republican governor here in Montana, and their last session, and what an absolute, you know, Charlie Foxtrot that was. Well, I just got my valuation for my property taxes for my cabin, which is my secondary residence, a property tax increase of almost 50%. Almost 50% is what they're valuing. And they're showing me the numbers of the amount of money it's going to go up. And it is almost 50%. Hey, good job up there, guys. Glad we have a Republican House and a Republican Senate and a Republican governor here in the red state of Montana, so you guys can go ahead and raise my property taxes 50% on my secondary home. We had a caller this morning out of, I forget which city he was out of. He's saying his primary residence, he's already got his valuation going up 27%. Isn't that one of the biggest things that we, the people, we, the voters of Montana, asked for? was tax relief, and most specifically, property tax relief. And they did exactly the opposite of what we asked them to do. I mean, what's the point of having them up there? This is the exact same kind of thing that if Democrats ran the place, this is exactly what they would do to us. So we need to start demanding better. And these people need to know that their employment up there is conditional. And I'm not just going to automatically vote for you guys next time just because you have an R beside your name. You're going to have to put some points on the board and produce. You work for us, not the other way around. We'll be right back in just a minute.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Got the soft music going there. Yeah, here we go. Welcome to NPR. Welcome this morning to NPR. This is your host, John Jackson. Oh boy, can you imagine listening to that all morning? Gee whiz. All right, we got line one. I knew this was going to be a hot topic with everybody because it affects all of us, and that is these property taxes. We got online, we got John in Kalispell. What's up, brother?
Hey, that soft music really didn't do anything for me. I am so angry after getting my property evaluation. I got it last week, and I kind of waited all week long to hear, if Montana Talks would light up or not, and it's been stone quiet. But my property evaluation doubled. My place went from $300,000 to $660,000. And all spring long, we were told by the Republicans, oh, it's not the state. There's nothing the state can do about it. It's your local taxes. It's your county taxes. It's your school levies. It's all this BS. Well, that's BS because it's the property tax system that is screwing us. My sister's taxes, her house is 20 years old now. She has a couple acres. Last evaluation, it was $600,000. It is now evaluated at over $1 million. I agree that we have issues with the local taxes, but it's the damn system that is causing the problem. And these, I've been a Republican my entire life, conservative, raised in a staunch Republican family, and I'm just so tired of these Republicans talking out of both sides of the mouth and the other end lying to us about what they're going to do and what can be done and all this other stuff. It's time. I don't know what the answer is other than to find real, true conservatives and get them in office.
I agree. Absolutely. Thank you very much, John. That is a... Yeah, while your locals have a big say in your property taxes, don't those Montana legislators, aren't they the ones that make law? Are you telling me they can't write a law that actually gives statewide property tax relief? I mean, come on. Hey, please, just stop. You're watching this happen all over the country. You are seeing in the reddest of red districts, in the reddest states, that's what they're doing to you, jacking your property taxes because it's a little undercover way to tax you. They don't have the guts really to raise your income taxes, so they're doing it through property taxes, even with Republicans in charge. Okay, and I got somebody else here on line two. I got Yuri in Circle. What you got, Yuri?
Well, John, this is Jerry, not Yuri.
Oh, it got right down. It wrote down as Yuri. My bad.
Maybe I was mumbling there. I talked to the screener, but I represent House District 34 over here, and so when you started talking about your appraisal coming in and how much it went in, and you were pretty outraged, I thought, well, that's just your appraisal that went up. The valuation on what you will be taxed at. On your second home, your vacation home, the next shock to hit you, I think, will be probably next year when your tax rate will go up substantially because of the tax shift bill that the Big Government Solution Caucus, Republicans and Democrats passed in this last legislature, and as you pointed out, the governor signed. So that shock is yet to come.
But what's your last name, Jerry? Your representative?
Schillinger.
Okay. Yes. We've talked to you before. Sure.
Yeah. By the way, you've been doing a great job this morning. I appreciate the show.
Oh, thank you very much, Jerry. You know what gets me is you see that valuation
stations,
and we got some break in there. You see this valuation, and it's telling you this is what's going to happen unless you appeal. You're going to have to appeal this to your county, and what are the odds that you're going to win any kind of appeal with these people? They've already decided that this is the amount that it's going to go up.
Well, I will say about that is the appeal part is that I would encourage people to do the appeal process if they think that their valuations have unjustly went up. I have a son in Helena that. Their business, their office building got a huge increase last valuation process, and he appealed it, and that got set aside. So they went back to no increase in their appraisal versus what it had been, about a 20% increase. So I would encourage you to go through that, because you have to remember that in these appraisal process, they don't come out and appraise every property. They just kind of use a computer model to compare you to similar properties, maybe somewhere even in the state, not even where in your location, on a previous sale or something. So it's far from a perfect process. And when you think about it, when we have to have a new appraisal every 2 years, it would be impossible to appraise everyone's property. So this two-year appraisal cycle that got put in process here a few years ago is far from perfect, that's for sure. But what I was going to say, John, is that you're correct in that what this appraisal comes out at is what your tax rate will be based on. That's true, but what is also true on your second type home, your vacation homes, what people have a shock they're going to get is besides the big new appraisal, their tax rate is going to go up substantially because of the tax shift bill passed in this last session.
Outrageous. Absolutely outrageous, Jerry. You know, here we have, we control both houses, we control the governorship, and this is still what we get here. Do you know anybody here in Montana that's had a successful appeal, that's appealed it and they have relented?
Well, as I said, my son and Helen on their business, he did, and they relented. They went back to what the original value was. The whole increase got rolled back that year. I'm not going to say it's going to happen in every case, but it's certainly worth doing, especially where you see a huge increase like that. And of course, you got to jump through some hoops to do it, but in the end, on an individual basis at least, it's worth doing, and process that needs to be cleaned up a little bit. And I was going to mention that your friend Representative Barker from down there in Red Lodge that you were slapping on the back here a little while ago was one of the ones that helped pass this whole mess.
Oh, I have no doubt. And thank you very much for the call, Jerry. I have no doubt. And the thing about these guys, I mean, hey, you did what you did. We can read what you did. And just either be quiet, number one, or just admit it, one or the other two. But you are compounding your mistake by coming out here and lying to the voters who can flat out read what you did. It's right there in the bill. So, I mean, please, don't insult our intelligence. Let's see, we got line three. We got Perry in Columbus. Morning, Perry.
Good morning, John. You know, I was talking about personal accountability, and I had another topic in mind, but I'm going to switch gravy trains here and tell everybody that the previous caller was right on the money except for one thing about property taxes. It's a computer-assisted mass appraisal system your piece of property is valued by a machine that, well, it's not a very good AI, let's put it that way, because it doesn't discriminate between the things that actually matter. They talk about the Department of Revenue will talk about market value, but it's not what they do. It's not what they use to actually come up with this number. They will defend it. I have won a reduction, not a complete reduction to my previous year, but I have one reduction. And here's the key, Montana, is that I'm one of a couple of people in Stillwater County that regularly fight against an overassessment of a piece of property that I have. But if I was one of 2,000 in Stillwater County who went through the AB 26, that's the form, AB 26 process, and appealed overvaluations by this computer program that has nothing to do with what something would actually sell for on the open market, if 2,000 people did that instead of 2 or 3, they would have to sit up and start dealing with us as human beings instead of kicking us in the gut, laughing in our faces, and sweeping us under the rug like they do right now.
I think that's kind of what Jerry said, was that it was done by a computer. Yeah, I think that was what he was hinting at, yeah.
But the point that I wanted to make that everybody needs to think about is you have to go down and get the form and go through the AB 26 process and make them defend their machine's assertion, because until you have a lot of people that do it in the same jurisdiction, they'll laugh at you and kick you out the door because you're one of a few instead of one of many. And it's basically a soft revolution against the property tax system, and by God, that's exactly what we need.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're dead on it. Perry's one of our best callers. I mean, dead on as always. And the thing I don't get is my property taxes didn't go up. You know, the heyday of COVID, right, when real estate prices went through the roof here in Montana, they didn't go up then, right? But all of a sudden now, bada-bing, you get hit with this 50% thing. I mean, patently outrageous. I mean, outrageous, particularly with this state being run by Republicans. It's just intolerable. We cannot put up with this as taxpayers. Hey, I see you guys on the phone here. I see Rhonda. I see Ed. We're coming up to a break. Y'all hold on. Hold on here, and I will definitely get back to you here in a minute. I know this is a subject everybody wants to talk about, and you're going to hear about the property taxes from Texas, too. Like I was just telling you, red states, this is being done all over the country to you by your very own Republicans. We will be back in 1 minute.
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordlund.
Day 1 of 3 for the Northern Livestock Video Auction Summertime Classic is in the books. Auctioneer Ty Thompson.
You know, we've said for a couple of years now that the cow-calf man is in the driver's seat, and it's higher again today. I mean, I know we've had a couple of huge video sales last week that probably sold 450,000 head of cattle, and this sale's probably, so far, on the lighter calves, is probably $10 to $14 higher than those sales were. We're probably $20 higher than our June sale was. Now, I'm just talking, what we've worked on today is calves weighing 4 to 5:30, 5:40. That's kind of all we've sold here today. Started out this morning on wean calves. Started out right away with some 430-pound steers at 520. Of course, those were weaned. We had some program 540-pound steers. I believe they brought 475 or 80 on those wean calves. But most all the wean calves went in the light, right around a type 5, early 5s would bring anywhere from 450 to 470 on those wean calves. Get into the balling calves. We had some little low 410-pounders bring 530-something. We had some 400, quite a few of them 450 to 470 weight calves would bring up against $5 a pound on those calves. And that's what kind of took the jump.
The lighter weight heifers were also $30 higher from their June sale. Again, that sale runs Tuesday and Wednesday in Billings. I'm Lane Nordlund.
It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Welcome back. Welcome back. You know, I was thinking before we were on break, one of my favorite movies of all time is Full Metal Jacket, hence my name. My name on social media is Private Joker. If you remember that, I bet a lot of you have seen that movie. There's a famous scene in that movie where the drill sergeant realizes that he's not getting through. He personally cannot get through to Private Pyle. And he makes an announcement to the entire platoon. He says, I have failed. So from now on, when Private Pyle F's up, I'm not going to punish him. I'm going to punish all of you. Okay? And maybe that's a tack we need to start taking with our elected representatives. Because it seems like they cannot control the rhinos and the saboteurs inside their tent. So maybe we need to start controlling them. Maybe we need to start punishing all of them. Just like Sergeant Hartman said in Full Metal Jacket. All right, I got on line 4 from Texas. I have Rhonda. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Good, good. How's things?
Things are good. I'm actually calling. This seems to be a hot topic about property taxes. I don't know if you know this. We don't have a state tax in Texas, but we might as well have because we have some of the worst or the highest property taxes in the nation. In fact, we have so many people moving here that you're right. The appraisal district, that we need to revamp them too. They go on the neighborhood that you live in, what even the new people are paying for these big houses they're having built, and whether or not your house is small, you're going to pay those type rates. For example, my mother owns her home is, 9 acres, and it's doubled in value, but she does have the homestead because she's over a certain age. But she does have an owner financed home that she's selling, and her property taxes on that are double. And then she has another one that she rents on, and those are now double. And they gave us a tax cut, if you want to call it that, I think last year, and it did nothing. Not really. I mean, they gave you one discount for that year, and then this year they went right back up. And you can go to fight it. They don't care here. They helped my mother one time in all the years she's gone to protest. And we do have a guy in Texas, Brian Harrison, who's introduced 10 bills to abolish property taxes in Texas. But, as you know, kind of like Montana, we have a real rhino problem in Texas. In fact, Trump has kind of made it his thing lately. He came down to Texas and was promoting redistricting in our state. And we could pick up 5 House seats nationally if we're able to do that. Well, our rhino leader, Dustin Burrows, guess who he appointed to the redistricting committee? Gene Wu, who's a notorious communist Democrat. So you're right. We need to take care of these people. They need to be primaried because we won't have a country left. And if Texas goes blue, the whole country goes blue because that's 40 electoral votes right there.
Ron, are you saying you have a Republican elected leader who selects, appoints a Democrat to this thing?
That's been the whole session. Absolutely.
Oh, my God. That's terrible. I'm hearing these stories. You hear them from Georgia. You hear them from North Carolina, Texas. Obviously here in Montana, our place was such a cluster that it made national news, it was in the New York Times and I forget where else. Yeah. You guys have been making national news for quite a while. I'm sure hoping that we're going to set some of that right. Maybe Ken Paxton can pop up here and beat John Cornyn, out for his Senate
Absolutely.
Seat. Maybe set an example for all these people, right?
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much for your call, Rhonda. That is your news about property taxes from Texas right there, letting you know it's not just happening to us here in Montana. And I got line 1 here. I got Ed from Manhattan.
Hey, how you doing, John?
Good. How are you, sir?
Good. Hey, what was confusing to me with this property taxes thing, mine went up almost $400,000, which is insane. But during this last legislature, they were talking about, coming up with a flat income tax. That was the goal of the governor. And so he wanted to shrink that down and put it into 2 tax brackets, eventually into one. But then on the other side of this, they came up with this tiered property tax system, which I think is just going to be obliterated by the assessor's offices all around Montana within one or two cycles. So people are going to get a short-term fix, and then essentially the assessor's offices are going to run around and jack everybody's rates up and increase your taxable value, and then eventually erase all the gains that were made. It's just a temporary thing. And so I'm fighting mine right now, and I think I'm going to be successful at it because I showed a huge discrepancy in valuation with comparable properties. But this whole thing with no cap and no Proposition 13 type thing that you see in California or Nevada, it's just going to be obliterated in just a short period of time with this crazy assessment thing that's going on in Montana. It's going to drive everybody out of here. I'm a retired public safety chief, and I can't sustain this sort of thing if I get a $400,000 increase every cycle. It's just nuts, and there has to be a cap to help Montana, really.
That's outrageous. But by public safety, I guess you mean police officer?
Firefighter.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for the call. I've said it on Aaron's show numerous times, and you're seeing the proof positive of this right now, and that is the following. Almost all, you're talking 90% of your elected Republicans are no different than Democrats in this one point, in that they are all addicted to spending your tax money. Now, they want to spend it on different things, different agenda items sometimes, a lot of times not, but they're all addicted to spending your money. And they also all think that if they try to cut any of those programs that they're currently wasting all your money on, then it's going to be big time blowback on them, and they'd rather just let the whole thing keep rolling. And those people will complain a lot louder than you will. See, that's the thing. The people that are getting all the bennies are going to be complaining a lot louder than you'll complain, the law-abiding taxpayers out here. Maybe right here today on the show, we can start a tax appeal movement right here on the show. Get everybody in the state of Montana to appeal their property valuation that's just coming out. Let's see, we got on line two. We got Ron in Big Fork.
Good morning. I got my appraisal, Leonard. My property went up $320,000. And what we have in Flathead County is we have fire departments and other entities. Somebody builds a huge, new fire department building. We got to have one like that. They're looking better than us. They're in Big Fork. I talked to the fire chief. They are going to ask for $15 million to build a new firehouse. $15 million. And then he's telling me, well, the trucks are getting old and the building was built in 1980. I went to the grammar school my mother went to in New Jersey. And the building's in beautiful shape. Montana doesn't care about veterans unless you're disabled. But most states I've lived in, they knock a few $100 off your taxes if you're a veteran. Not Montana. But, you know, everybody talks a big time about our veterans, and senior citizens. I just turned 81. Are they going to freeze the taxes for senior citizens? Nope. They don't care. And years ago, I used to listen to a guy in New Jersey. His name was Jim Gerhart, had a talk show in the morning. And he had a program he started, GRIP. Get rid of incumbent politicians. If you like the guy that's in your district, fire him. If you don't like him, fire him. Just let's turn over the dirt. We just can't go on with this. And the developers are coming in and they're driving the value of all these properties to the roof. And developers, they're like used car salesmen and child molesters. They destroy everything and then they move on. But you can tell them I'm pretty pissed.
Yeah, and I think we all are. Thank you very much for the call. We're all of us pissed, and we've been pissed for a very long time. And that the pissed is what brought you MAGA. It's what brought you President Trump, not only for the first time, but for the second time. And y'all, the elected leaders out there, you're not hearing us. You're not grasping this. We want less government, less taxes, less of you in our pockets and in our lives. That's what we've been saying for a long time now, and you better start taking the clue, or a lot of y'all are going to be out of a job and out here working it just the same way we are. We'll be right back.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, I hope a lot of Montana legislators are listening to the program this morning, because you should see the call board here at the Montana Talk studio, lit up, completely full, busy right now, and everybody's calling in about the same thing, about they are completely and utterly pissed off about these property taxes. And our next one is Sandy in Three Forks. Morning, Sandy.
Good morning. I know nobody will believe this, but if you want, I will send you a picture of my classification and appraisal. It literally went for 1 acre, 1 acre, okay, with two buildings that the roofs are falling in, a trailer that's not livable, went from $93,544
to $859,812. Repeat that again for everybody, Sandy. Just repeat that number one more time.
From $93,544 to $859,812.
Good Lord.
And those of you who are saying, oh, mine doubled or mine tripled. Well, how about this? This is almost 10 times the amount.
My
taxable value last year was $1,263. Now the current taxable value is $8,082. How am I supposed to pay that on Social Security?
Exactly. Exactly. It's absolutely outrageous. And that's what we've been talking about. That's another thing the taxpayers out here have been demanding, is some kind of cutoff for age or for retirement. You know, if you get to a certain age and you're retired, you shouldn't have to be paying these things anymore. You shouldn't have to be paying these property taxes. You shouldn't have to be paying taxes on Social Security. And we've heard politicians talk about this stuff, but it never gets done, does it? And now on line four, we got Ken. We got Ken up there in, where is Ken? In Billings. Billings.
How are you doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
Well, I'm still kicking. You know, I was in the Navy. I was in San Diego for 17 years. And when I left, you know, my property taxes were still the same as when I bought my property there, because we fought and got them to where they could not reevaluate it unless you took and went and got an appraisal done. Then they could reevaluate the property taxes at the new appraisal. But, you know, but that's what we need to do here. We need to get it to where if you paid $60,000 for that house 20 years ago, that's the property taxes you should pay, because that's the value of the house that you bought. Now, if you turn around and get an appraisal on it and sell it, you're going to have to pay taxes on that anyway. So let's take and make this sensible to where the property taxes actually make sense. You know, it's like the lady that was just on. You know, she probably paid, you know, probably $100,000 maybe for that property when she bought it. And now they want her to pay $8,000, you know, in taxes every year. You know, that's half of her Social Security right there. That's crazy.
It's basically unrealized gains, right? They're taxing you on unrealized gains.
Well, they don't want you to have your own property. They don't want you to live in the property anymore. They want you out in an apartment in the city where you cannot be self-sufficient. They want the government to be the what you go to for every need. And it's ridiculous.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Thank you very much for the call, Ken. That's actually what the Democrats want. The Democrats want that for 100%. That's their big-time globalist plan, whereas Republicans just want to keep spending your tax money and buying votes with it. Let's see. We got on line two here. We got Dell in Helena.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
So yeah, the property tax, we have to pay my father-in-law because he's on Medicaid, he's disabled, and he doesn't make enough a month, and we have to pay his, ours, and, it's getting to the point, like, what's the point even paying it anymore? You're not going to kick me off my property, so, even though we've paid our house off and everything, you really don't own the land anymore. You're renting, period. So, that's my thought.
That's exactly it. That is exactly what everybody's saying. Thank you very much for the call. That's exactly what everybody's saying is, what do you mean you get us to a point to where we're renting the property from you and we don't own our property anymore, right? You guys hear Aaron Flint here, I think it was a month ago, he's reporting that Tim Sheehy sold his big $10 million property up there on Flathead Lake. And imagine a $10 million property, what the property taxes already were on a second residence, and then this tax hike. I mean, that's probably what you would make a good bet that that's why Tim Sheehy is getting rid of the place. He can't afford to pay these outrageous taxes in the state where he's the Republican senator. Imagine that. I mean, it's craziness. I see you guys on the phone here. We are out of time here. We are coming up to the music right now, and we're going to have to be done for the day. But I hope that this discussion here today has prompted everybody, like Jerry Schillinger said, appeal these things. Appeal it in mass. We appeal these things in mass and make them take notice and make them stop confiscating, stealing our money from us every year. Hey, this is John Jackson. Been great being with you guys, and I'll see you on the other side.